SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Hour two of In This League. Bogman Welsh on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports, and of course online at InThisLeague.com. Playing live on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Got a little bit of Sports Grid, a little bit of podcast action. Bogman, I was telling you that I just the other day, like 3 days ago, purchased backup. You got to do this in, when we're podcasting so much, like you can't afford to have something break. I bought backup headphones, just cheap ones, you know, because we're in this league and we have a Patreon, so it can't be expensive. You know what I mean? So I just bought like a backup pair of headphones because it's starting to get worried, like maybe something's going to happen. Dude, I'm telling you, I got them in yesterday. Mm-hmm. That night, going to do a little Sports Grid update. I'm getting going to grab my headphones to, you know, go listen to something as I'm done. My headphones that I've been using forever, they were stuck in my chair, and I go to pull it out, ripped it apart. And I was like, well, it's good that I got these new headphones because I have these, but now I don't have the backup pair. So I'm rocking the brand new ones. I thought you would care about that.
I got to get some backups. I mean, I told you the other day, these ones are on their way out. I mean, these ones I think could legally drink. That's how old they are. So they have been around for a while, and I can tell like the speaker on the left side here is starting to, you know, it's on its way out.
Yeah,
so
I can hear little fuzzy,
weird things and stuff. So I need to get some new ones for sure. But I'm surprised, like Sadie, the tortoiseshell cat, she loves to chew on wires. It's her favorite thing in the world. So I can't believe that these have lasted, through her terror, because I had some clippers, some like face clippers, and I got for Christmas. I got them. I plugged them into charge. She bit through the charge wire immediately.
I don't know. Just the other day, we have a rabbit in our house. We have a couple, and the rabbits were out, and my wife goes, this cord, and look, and the rabbit just walked over to it was an HDMI cable and just went and just completely snapped. Right, and I was like, what the, like, come on, don't do that. Jesus. Yeah. Like,
so I've had to, you know, little protective cases on all my wires and stuff. I bought a new one. She bit through it. I got it. I waited 2 weeks, got it. She bit through it in 2 seconds. It was crazy. Yeah,
that's what they do. So backups are out. When we come back, I was really doing anything I could do. By the way, we talked about headphones so I could avoid talking about how last week went as far as my DFS lineups go, because that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to set our FanDuel DFS lineup, and we'll be right back. I got the presidential message still. It's still, we can't do the thing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back, friendos. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid on the Mightier 1090. It's Bogman and the Welsh, and we are about to tackle some DFS lineups for your week three action. Every single week, we painstakingly have to just deal with the nonsense. I have to deal with the nonsense of this professional DFS guy over here. And if you tuned in last week, that's not the right letter. I got to get the official presidential.
Oh, yeah, here. The presidential letter that says.
Yeah, that. I guess this one right here. Yeah, this is the follow up letter. See, it's,
you know what I call that letter?
The White House.
I call it my free Chipotle coupon. That's what I call it.
Yeah, officially, this is still the letter from the White House. It said, "Dear the Welsh," using my legal name. We are sorry that you cannot participate against Mr. Scott Bogman anymore because he does a show on Lion Star. So the DFS contest, the skins contest, would not be fair. Just give him Chipotle and he'll be good. That's what they said. That was official letter from
You know what? It also, like, they send that to my debtors as well. They're like, stop trying to collect from Bogman. He will kill you. Just give him some Chipotle and you should be fine. So that's what actually everything says. And my doctor is actually prescribing Chipotle napkins for my constant nosebleed.
So. Okay, I was about to say, I'm not sure they would love the sodium in the Chipotle, but those napkins have a secondary help. They do stop your nosebleeds.
We have this buddy. I won't say his name on the podcast.
Say his name.
Yeah. Well, he's...
What's it rhyme with? He's
big, tall, and he mumbles. You know.
Oh, him. And he falls. He falls when he plays softball games.
Sometimes. So, yeah. One time... we were eating Chipotle, like he came over to watch football or something. And I'm like, you do it. Cause I used to always get the burrito. Now I go with the bowl. Like it matters. But, I was like, and he was like, he had chips and he's dipping the chips into his bowl and he's eating them. And I'm like, you're going with the bowl now, over the burrito. And he's like, yeah, I just figured, you know, less salt and carbs without the tortilla. I'm like, you're dipping salted chips into your bowl, dude. And he was like, oh yeah, I never thought about that.
Of course.
It was a decade ago, but it was it was really funny. It's one of those things when, you know, you just put on blinders. You know, sometimes that happens. You put on blinders, you don't realize how dumb you're being. And that was one of those cases.
Well, it's not going to be week two where Welsh turns over the potential Chipotle meal, the purchase. If Bogman were to be purchasing it, it's not going to be after week two because your boy is 0-2. I thought I had a really good thing going after this week. Let me see, DFS week two, because I had in my lineup last week, I had Austin Eckler, I had Raheem Mostert, and I had Aaron Jones as my running backs. And, you know, I mean, Mostert got knocked out, but he scored the second most. I had Aaron Jones, who scored 43 points. The problem was everything else was pretty minimal. I had John Brown, who was a great play, but Devontae Adams and Marquise Brown combined to score me 11 points. Goddard was a dud. Niners were a dud. And Stafford was relatively blessed. So I scored 133. Boggs, you had a big outing from Dak. Ezekiel Elliott in the stack with CeeDee Lamb was a pretty decent play. DeAndre Hopkins was fine. You had a couple duds in Allen Robinson and Logan Thomas, but David Montgomery scored big. Bucks defense was really solid. So you scored 142 and you took the win on the DFS lineup. So you are the big winner again. Boggs, do you want to give off your lineup or do you want me to go first? It's your call.
I'll go first. That's fine. So my quarterback, I started out with, I'm going back to the Welsh, their defense isn't great. And Seattle
Joe
doesn't
Burrow.
Well, it's Dak Prescott at Seattle. I expect that game to be a shootout, one of the higher overs of the week. So give me Dak or give me death again. Running backs, I feel like, are harder to pick because so there's some good RBs not in the main slate this week. There's some good ones on Sunday Night Football. There's some good ones on Monday Night Football as well. So I went Austin Eckler against the Panthers. The Panthers rank 32nd right now in rush defense. So I think Eckler is going to be pretty strong there. And I think that the Colts are going to put a beating down on the Jets. So give me Jonathan Taylor with all those carries that he had last week. You're kind of grinning right now. Am I just reading off your same FanDuel?
I have both of those running backs in my lineup. I have Eckler and Jonathan Taylor, but I have Eckler in the flex. So I'm curious if you're going to have the other guy that I have. You probably won't.
Connor is my flex against you. You have James Connor?
I don't have James Connor. So, but we're both playing Taylor and Eckler though.
Okay. So I have James Connor as my flex this week. I'll just go ahead and get that out of the way. So the Welsh and I can make sure we don't have the same exact damn lineup here. So he's 7,100. And if you've watched the Texans recently, you know, they're giving up big running games to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, the Ravens did it with three different backs, but they still did it. My wideouts here, Terry McLaurin against Cleveland, 6,700. He's the only guy in their offense that's doing anything right now. DeAndre Hopkins against Detroit. I like Hopkins going up against Jeff Okuda. That's going to be a fun matchup. And my wide receiver pick for a touchdown this week is Tyler Boyd against Philly. The Bengals defense is terrible. They should be playing catch up in every single game that they play. So I've got Tyler Boyd in my lineup. And my tight end, I went cheap. Drew Sample had all the targets in the world after CJ Uzama tore his Achilles last week. I think they combined for like 17 targets on Thursday Night Football. So give me Drew Sample against Philly and their busted defense right now. And look, Kirk Cousins has looked god awful the last couple weeks. So give me the Titans against the Vikings offense that can't do anything but run the ball right now. So just going through it one more time. Dak, Eckler, Jonathan Taylor, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, Drew Sample, James Conner, the Terminator, and Tennessee Titans is my defense.
Okay, I made a little adjustment on the roster here because I took Jonathan Taylor off, so I'm letting everybody know I made a movement on mine, so it'll alter a little bit. All right, so this week I've actually got Bogman's guy. I've got Kyler Murray going up against Detroit, 8,400, so I'm going kind of on the expensive quarterback with you. I did take Jonathan Taylor off, and I made a change at tight end and running back, so I went with a more expensive running back. Jonathan Taylor goes off, and I put in Miles Sanders against Cincinnati. Yeah, great defensive play, 7,400. I'm actually a lot more happy with what I did here. My second running back, or I told you Austin Eckler is my flex. My second running back, I'm going with Derrick Henry versus the bleh Minnesota defense and then probably shoving it down their throat. So Derrick Henry, Miles Sanders, and Eckler. My wideouts, I've got one of your guys. I've got Hopkins because I'm stacking. So I'm going Murray and Hopkins. My other two, I got one of your absolute players, CD Lamb at 5,600 versus Seattle. So I'm kind of playing off of your stack a little bit. Yeah, and I think he's, you know, as he's continued to move into the offense, I'm buying in. And then Darius Slayton, who we talked a ton about this week, who's going up against the San Francisco 49ers secondary and their struggles. Slayton is such a good play this week, and he's cheap, 5,500. He's less than CD Lamb. So I've got two cheap wideouts and a big one. I took out, I had Noah Fanton at tight end, and I took him out. And the replacement I brought in was with Mo Alie-Cox, who looks like he's going to be the go guy this week. So cheap tight end. And then I went Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense against the Denver Broncos, who are struggling. So I'm playing the cheap defensive role with, you know, a couple alterations, I guess a pretty expensive running back and some cheap wideouts outside of Hopkins. So what do you think? What do you think my chances are now that we don't have the same players? We've only got two of the same.
Go through it one more time for me.
Okay. Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders, Derrick Henry, CD Lamb, Darius Slayton, DeAndre Hopkins, Mo Alie-Cox at tight end. My flex is Austin Eckler, and I got Tampa's defense against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, I like that lineup. And I would say that we're probably a coin flip, but I would say that about the last 2 weeks. I mean, sure, I won the last 2 weeks, but I think it was by like 6 points and 4 points or something, right? It wasn't like I crushed you in any.
Yeah, no, it's like, no, well, you beat me by 9 points in this last one. So it was relatively significant. So there you go. We shout out to our boy Donovan, who is keeping track of all this stuff, all of the bets. Yeah, and the DFS lineup. So we can go back and we can see how they score, you know, and it's Chipotle on the line. It's kind of a big deal. When we come back, though, we are going to talk about what week two was as far as gambling goes. It was not pretty. Because it was a not pretty week. We've got, I know you and Bubba will talk about that, but when we come back, we'll talk about our results and we're going to set week three. So don't go anywhere. A little bit of gambling talk, some over-unders and some picks. Don't go anywhere.
A little bit of gambling.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
But nobody.
ITL.
It's pick'em time right here on ITL. That's what Bogman and me, the Welsh, are going to be doing every week. We spend a couple segments going through all of the week three games, going through the lines. We are going to do our against the spread picks, our over under spread picks, and our over under picks. Bogman last year was insane. I think overall you were like 50 games over. You've definitely teetered on your spread. Has been a little bit better against your over-under picks. And last week was kind of representative, Bogman. You had a so-so Actually, you were tied with me for the best against the spread picks. We were under 500 and you had an atrocious over under. What the hell happened with you last week? You went 7-8 against the spread and 5-10 on the over under. This is coming off of an 11-4 week against the spread, but your over unders were trash in week one also.
Yeah. I think week one, we talked about that. I got a little bit too into that, all of these spreads going over in week one because of no preseason. That was kind of my thought process. So that led to my bad week one. And I feel like week two, I just switched for week one in a normal season, right? Like week one and week 17, I say, are always the hardest to pick against the spread. But I got backdoored on a bunch of these stupid ones. You know, the Fournette touchdown screwed up my Carolina pick. The Gesicki touchdown screwed up my Buffalo pick late. Jeff Driskel leading Denver down to score against Pittsburgh late in the game screwed up my Pittsburgh pick. And the early games, I was ready to do the you remember watching Two for the Money with Matthew McConaughey and Al Pacino when he's like, how do you think we did? And he's like, he's at a driving range hitting golf ball. He's like, I think we crushed it. And he's like, grown men calling in, talking about jumping off buildings, losing their whole life savings. Like, I was like, good God, I only got, two of the early games right. But the late games, I went 5-6. So
yeah, you went better on that one. I went 7-8 against the spread. And I actually didn't even realize this. I went 8-7 on the over-unders. And here's what's fascinating, Boggs. I mean, I am the epitome of consistency as far as mediocre. I am 15-15 against the spread. I am 15-15 against on the over-under. But if you combine them, I'm beating you right now because you are 29 wins to 31 losses on your picks. I'm an even 30-30 across the board. So I am one game up on you if you take the totality of it, but you have the single greatest singular one where you're 18-12 against the spread through 2 weeks. I am, like I said, 15-15 across the board. Bubba's actually doing very good, 16-14 across both of those. So that is how last week was pretty brutal. I think it was brutal for many, many people. So you ready to tackle this for this week?
Yeah, I feel much better about this week for sure.
All right. We've got Cincinnati at Philly. Philly is a 5.5-point home favorite, 46.5.
Chicago at Atlanta.
I couldn't even hear you. What?
Chicago at Atlanta's first.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was scrolled down there. Okay. Sorry, dude. Chicago at Atlanta. Atlanta is a 3.5-point favorite. 47.5 is the over under. What do you got?
Well, I don't like this game in particular, but I'm going to take Chicago has played to two unders. So I'm taking the under in this game, which we may not like that line. But I just think Atlanta is reeling. They're coming off that horrible, horrible, awful loss against Dallas. And I think Chicago's just a little bit better than what we're giving them credit for. So I'm going to take Chicago, and they played it two unders. Give me the under.
I'm going to go Atlanta on this one. I think regardless of Julio Jones being out or not, they are going to be able to sling it against Chicago. I like a rebound on Todd Gurley. They just did not find the effectiveness. And I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for me to put Mitch Trubisky in a spot where I think they are going to dominate against a team like Atlanta and be able to go over.
I'd take Atlanta straight up, but I'll take Chicago against the spread.
I think
17-14 type of game that Chicago has played to. Maybe it's more 21-17, something like that. But I think it plays a little bit closer than Atlanta's other games.
Yeah, I mean, if it were like 5, I would be going with the spread. I'm not sure 3.5 is quite enough. And I think, I think Atlanta has a lot to play back for coming off of that last game. I think they're going to come out hot. And I think that's a big, I would worry, this would be a big worry I'd have with Atlanta, is getting hit on the back door. If Atlanta is going to take an early lead and then just that defense decimating again in Chicago coming back, that's where I would be a little bit worried. But this is in Atlanta, 3.5 on a home favorite. I like that. And I'm going to go with the over. So we are complete opposites on the very first game. Game number two, now it's officially Cincinnati at Philly. Philly's a 5.5-point home favorite. 46.5 is the over, Boggs.
Yeah, I'm going to go Philly in the over on this one. This is the Carson Wentz get right game. And I know Cincinnati had extra rest after playing on Thursday night and everything. That's why I do like the over here more than I like taking Philly, because Philly has looked pretty trash. They just lost Jalen Reagor as well. But I think that if you're ever going to get right in a game this year, Carson Wentz, it has to be at home against these terrible Bengals. So give me Philly, give me the over.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the volume too that you saw from Burrow, I was going kind of back and forth between the over and under on this one. I think the over is a little bit reliant on how successful Philly is. And now see, what's funny is this is all the things you were saying about the Atlanta-Chicago one. This is how I feel about the Cincinnati-Philly one. 5.5 points. I know it's at home in Philly, but I think with the volume of what Cincinnati's been doing, I think Philly wins it outright, but I'll take the 5.5 points on Cincinnati because they are slinging the ball and they've still got those weapons. And AJ Green admitted one semi-positive thing is, you know, AJ Green talked about how, you know, his struggles early on have really been more about understanding the playbook and getting back right. It wasn't like an overall health thing. So I think Cincinnati is going to continue to sling it. And Philly has, you know, had their struggles, but I'm going to go with the over, but I'm going to take Cincy. I'm going to take the line. I'm going to get the 5.5 points on Cincinnati. And I think, you know, the more you talk it out on the over for both of these teams, if Philly is in this one, this is an overplay because Cincinnati is just going to be slinging the ball. Pittsburgh Steelers got an early game. They're hosting the Houston Texans. Pittsburgh is a 4-point home favorite. The over is set at 45, but this will be against quite a quarterback in Deshaun Watson for him.
Yeah, this is. So I think because of that, the strategy here for me, if I'm Pittsburgh, is run the ball, try to do it effectively like teams have done against Houston early in the season, and play good defense. So keep the ball out of Deshaun Watson's hand. So I think Connor and Snell get a lot of run here. So give me Pittsburgh and give me the under in this game, because I think that's the pace that the Steelers want to play at. And I don't think Houston has shown me anything to where they can dictate pace yet. So Pittsburgh in the under for me.
Well, what about Juju? You know, are you worried about Juju at all in this game?
I'm a little worried about Juju, but I'm not really worried about, like, Juju is obviously a big part of the game plan, but the Steelers would be okay with Deontay Johnson, James Washington, Chase Claypool if he doesn't go. So I'm okay. It's still more about running the ball and keeping the ball out of Watson's hands.
And I think that's actually why I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh, but that's why I'm going to move to the over a little bit. Juju being out would worry me a tiny bit more just because, you know, I mean, Juju and Deontay Johnson being able to spread the field is super important to that offense being able to make it fly. I mean, Chase Claypool looks pretty cool, but I don't want him to be, you know, thrown into some major role here. I think there could be some struggles there, but I think that Houston and Deshaun Watson are going to have to make that pivot, and it's going to have to be early. They're not going to find success trying to run the ball up the gut with David Johnson or on the corners. So it is going to be Deshaun Watson moving around in the pocket. And they've got a lot of these, I mean, they got a couple guys that can spread the field in Fuller and Cooks, but you've got Cobb, you know, who is, he's a play that I love this week because it's going to have a lot of dink and dunk. And I think they're going to make that move, and I think they're going to make that move early. That's kind of why I like the over in this one, even though it is designed to be a little bit more of a defensive struggle. Last one, probably before the break here, New England is hosting the Raiders. New England is a 6.5 point favorite. 47.5 is the over underline.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are 2-0 against the spread. The Patriots are 0-2. So I think Vegas understands that. A lot of people are picking the Patriots for their bets. And the Raiders looked pretty good last week. I know Jacobs sat out practice on Wednesday, and not sure if he sat out Thursday too, but
he did not. He did. He sat out Thursday. He did.
Okay. So, but I think Thursday after Monday night is another rest day. So I think Jacobs is going to be ready to rock in this game. So if I'm going straight up, I would, of course, take the Patriots over the Raiders, but I think that spread of 6.5 is a little bit too big. I think if the Patriots can dictate pace this week, they were not able to last week. I think they want to run the ball, and I think they want to grind down that Raiders offense. So I think this is going to be a little bit closer, but I'm pretty confident in the under in this one.
Yeah, I've got the under with you as well. I think there's going to be some pace issues that are going to be in play here as well. But I don't feel actually super confident either way. I have a hard time with the Raiders. It is interesting, you know.
I wouldn't want to bet on this one. I'm with you on that for sure.
That's probably my biggest takeaway. Like, especially if I were cherry picking, this is one that I would most likely want to stay away from, just because I think with the Patriots, it can go either way. I think you assume that the Raiders are going to try to sling the ball as much as they possibly can. But, you know, the determination of like, what is the Patriots defense going to be against this Raiders team? And then what type of pace is the offense going to set? They found such success, you know, getting it in the air with Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry, and you saw a ton of targets. But at the end of the day, is Cam Newton going to be pulling it down? Is James White does not look like he's going to play in this game as well. He was a no-go in practice on Thursday.
Yeah.
And without James White, the team moved away to more of a pass heavy, I think, because it just took away some of the ability to to mask the run a little bit. So I'm going to go with New England. I am going to take the 6.5 because I think this could be a touchdown game, but I am going to go with the under. When we come back, we are going to get all the rest of these games. There's a whole bunch. Don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready?
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. Come and check us out over at InThisLeague.com. That's our Patreon. You can get in on the live streams. You can get in our GroupMe rooms. You'll get the first to know. You'll be the first to know about all the stuff that we have got jamming, whether it's new merch, new ideas, new things that we can incorporate with you. And you can take part in stuff like the mock drafts that we're doing. We've got comedy secret shows and a bunch more in a time where there is no movies, no new movies in 2020, especially new Marvel. We got your backs covered. So go to InThisLeague.com. You can come and sign up today. Little as $5 for the month. We'll get you a whole bunch. So come and check us out. Big catalog of 80 plus secret shows, which we got to get one in here very quickly here, Bogman.
Very true. Yep.
Very true. Maybe tonight. Maybe
a little, yeah. Tonight's
recording
good.
Recording of one tonight. All right. We were going through our picks. I think we got through the first four games in week three. So we're going to jump right back in. We're doing against the spread, over under. I think Bogman is ready to have a big week. He's coming off of a poor showing in the over-under. I feel like this is going to be a big Bogman week here. So let's get into the fifth game, which is the Rams at Buffalo. Buffalo's a 1.5-point home favorite. The line is set at 47.5.
Yeah, this one, look, it feels like an under to me. But I think I'm getting in my head a little bit because Buffalo always feels like an under, but they played to two overs so far this year. So I'm going to take the over in this game because that's what Buffalo has been playing to so far in this season. And I'm going to take Buffalo at home. I mean, I know this is kind of a Vegas throwing their hands up. Like, I don't know. The Rams just won a road game against Philly that a lot of us did not expect them to win. That line shifted from the Rams back to Philly late in the week last week. So I'm going to take Buffalo. I think they're better than the Rams overall. We've seen Josh Allen do it with his legs through the air. So they're going to just outscore some teams. So give me Buffalo. Give me the over in that one.
I'm really, really torn on this. It's funny. I actually had, for whatever reason, Buffalo was written on mine, but I meant to write the Rams just because I think, you know, Goff has looked better. The run game is my biggest problem with them as far as their offense goes and what can they establish. And that is going to be a difficult pace, but they could move into the pass game and it works really well. Robert Woods, I expect to have a pretty big game.
Yeah.
The big key factor is how that Rams defense, which is going to try to be in Josh Allen's ass all game, how effective are they going to be in making him adjust to being a quarterback that he's not comfortable with? Because you see him kind of play one role or the other. You know, it's step back, first option, run, or he's going to have the time and he's going to make the big throws because, you know, Stephon Diggs and John Brown make it really easy for him to be able to make those big ones. So I just don't know. And I have a feeling that defensive line is going to be on him a little bit more. So I am going to go with the Rams, but I'm also going to take the over, especially I think it's a lot of fourth quarter scoring for this game. my San Francisco 49ers at the New York Jets. 3.5 Giants. Point. I'd say the Giants. Doesn't matter.
Same stadium.
New York team. Some stupid San Francisco team. San Francisco's a 3.5 point favorite, and they, I believe, have the lowest line of the week at 40.5.
Yeah. Look, I don't like either offense. They're both broken right now. No Barkley for the Giants, who is, 85% of their production. And the Niners don't have their starting quarterback. They're down Raheem Mostert. They're down Tevin Coleman. But what I do...
Lineman.
Yeah, what I do like in this game is the over for that reason right there. The Niners down a couple of good defensive linemen. And also, look, Danny Dimes going to turn the ball over. I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Mullins turned the ball over a couple times as well. These young quarterbacks, especially Mullins being severely inexperienced, leans to that type of stuff, which sets up short field. So over seems pretty easy to me. I think the line is tougher, but I'm not taking the Giants. So give me the Niners and give me the over.
I actually feel way more confident about the 49ers than I do the over under. Just because, this is going to be, these are two messy defenses. And I think there's a contingency of people that think, especially in the 49ers camp, like, hey, don't be done with the 49ers just yet. Don't count Kyle Shanahan out. And it's like, all right, but they literally can't cover anybody as far as their secondary goes. And their entire defensive line was smashed up. So if Danny Dimes gets it in the air, which they should, because they lost a running back, I think it could be messy, but at the same time, it could be a 15, it could be like a 17-13 game. So
but the way you just explained it sound like you're more confident in the over because the defenses are bad.
Well, that's why I picked the over. I'm going with the over because I think it's going to be two messy defenses that are going to find opportunity, and they're going to find big play opportunity. I want to be like Darius Slayton is going to have two touchdowns in this game this week. But I also think you're going to see a big Brandon Ayuk play. This is the game to kind of let him loose. And the running backs, we'll see where it is with Jerick McKinnon. But I also feel like the 40.5, it's a trap. That's not a planet. Yeah, it's not a planet. It's a station. It's a ship. It's 40.5.
That's a
big old trap. But, I'll take Niners 3.5 and I'll take the over. Tennessee at Minnesota. Tennessee is a 2.5 point road favorite. 48.5 is your line, Boggs.
This looks too obvious, but I'm going to take Tennessee and I'm going to take the under. Kirk Cousins has got nothing going so far. He's had two quarters of good football out of 8. So give me Tennessee. They still want to run the ball with Derrick Henry. Give me the under. This one's kind of the easiest one of the week for me.
I feel very good about the under as well. I'm also going Tennessee. I think, I hate to say it. Our parlays have just been absolute trash, but the Tennessee under and San Francisco 3.5 are probably my two favorites so far if I was picking between all of these. So I'm with you. I think it's a lot of ball control. I think both teams need the ball control for Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. So give me Tennessee in the under. Washington at Cleveland. Cleveland is favored by 7 at home, Boggs, with a 44.5 line.
Yeah, look, Washington just hasn't had much. They've had one good half of football where they beat Philly, who's looked like trash so far. They could not hang with the Cardinals at all. That game was not as close as a score. So Cleveland with extra rest coming off of Thursday Night Football, kind of an easy pick for me here. And give me the over in this one. Washington's going to have to play catch up. Cleveland will have to put a little bit of points on the board to beat Washington. So give me the over in that one.
Yeah, I don't feel confident about the over on it, though. That's kind of where I'm lying. Like, I don't know what a Washington's offense is going to look like.
More confident in Cleveland for me.
Yeah, I'm more confident in Cleveland, even though it's a pretty big line. Who do you think is the big step up here, just for a second, in Cleveland? Do you think this is a big Odell game? Do you think this is the multi-running back game again? What's the oddity against Washington?
The RBs again. Yeah, think the RBs again. It could be the wideouts, though, because that D-line for Washington's real good, so...
All right, we've got Carolina at the Chargers. Chargers are at a 6.5 point home favorite. Line is 44. I think we both clearly would want the Chargers in this one, even though it's 6.5. Their offense, Herbert made their offense look really good. Carolina's defense has been relatively abysmal, but I don't think we're going to agree on the, I'm going under, and I can see on this one you're going over. So what puts you over with the Chargers at least 44? Do you think Carolina's going to be scoring points?
I hate this game. I don't want any piece of it either way. I don't want to depend on Justin Herbert. as a, you know, to get me a 6.5 point win. And I don't really want to pick the over under in this one because I find it real difficult this week because no Christian McCaffrey and a rookie QB. I understand why you go with the under. I just think maybe there's turnovers here. Maybe it's short field. So give me the over in this game, but I don't like that one at all.
Yeah, you do have two very similar backs in that, like, if the team script sticks to it, Eckler is very explosive and in the pass game, and that's what they're going to need Mike Davis to do. Mike Davis needs to do his best Christian McCaffrey impression. And both teams are actually pretty well set at defending that. You know, they are used to backs on those opposite sides. So that's why even, I mean, Carolina's defense has just been blah. Chargers much better. I think both teams are pretty pretty aligned to this one. Jets at the Colts. The Colts, I think this is the biggest differential, are a 10.5 point favorite against the Jets. 44 is the line.
The Colts, the Jets are the worst team in the NFL. So the Colts found their strategy last week against Minnesota. It's give the ball to Jonathan Taylor a million times, let him run it and win the game. And I think that's what they're going to do here against the Jets. So give me the Colts and give me the under because of all of that running. And
yeah, I mean,
ineptitude.
If Adam Gase has a gig after week six, are you going to be surprised?
Yeah, I will be. Yeah, I will be very surprised. He's
terrible. Can't believe this team is terrible. Sam Darnold looks so bad. They have no weapons.
Dude, I saw
hurt.
this bootleg, and it said this throw from Sam Darnold was a bootleg. It was one of the one touchdown throw he had. Perfect throw down the middle while he's moving to his left. He threw to his right. Perfect throw. And the title was Get Adam Gase Away from Sam Darnold.
Totally.
So it makes sense.
Yeah, the play calling is bad. I mean, the Niners made the Jets look better than they should have, but the Jets are the worst team in the NFL. And I'd be hard pressed that the Jets put up double digit scoring in this one. I think the Colts are going to manhandle them. So I'll go 10.5 and I'm going to take the under because it's just how many, I don't know. I mean, if the Colts score 40 points, then this might hit the over, but I don't like it any other way. Dallas at Seattle. Seattle is a 5 point favorite. 55.5 is the line. I believe that is the largest of the week.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's going to blow that out of the water. We saw Seattle. They have no pass rush at all. So if you give any quarterback time in the NFL, they'll throw for a ton of yards. We just saw Cam Newton throw for 400 yards with the brand new wide receivers that he hasn't really bonded with that much yet. So give me Dallas in this one against the spread. I think Seattle will probably win straight up at home, but the over might be the easiest pick of the week for me. Dallas and the over, even with the highest line.
Yeah, I'm really torn on that. It's a huge, huge line, and I know I'm going to go in the under. I'm going to go opposite on you. I know that's your pick, and it's going to make me be stupid here, but I love Dallas in the 5 points as well. I just wonder if there's a little bit of defense and there's a little bit of ball establishment early on in the game. But the problem is both of these guys are two of the best quarterbacks in the league. They've got amazing wide receiver cores. So this can get out of hand pretty quick. So I don't blame you on that whatsoever. I don't particularly like that, but I do like Dallas. We've got a couple more here. Arizona's hosting the Lions. Cardinals are a 5.5 point favorite. The second biggest line, 54.5. Is your over under?
I'm not confident on the over under on this one at all, but I do love the Cards. The Cards have looked good 2 weeks in a row. Detroit is reeling right now. They've lost two games, really butchered chances to win. So I think their confidence is low. Give me the Cardinals. Give me the over.
I've also got the Cardinals. I've also got the over. And I think this is a confidence booster for sure. I'd like to see the line. I mean, hopefully this is going to be a little bit of a back and forth. That's what's going to get us there as well. Kenny Golladay could help if you were actually
fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Tampa Bay at Denver. Tampa's a 6.5 point road favorite. 43.5 is your line.
I don't like this line. So I'm going to give it to the home team, Denver. I don't think they lose much going from Locke to Driscoll. So give me Denver at home, but give me the over. I think that 43.5 is just too low to not take the over. So give me Denver in the over.
I agree with the over line. I'm going to go with Tampa, though. I think Denver is going to feel a lot more struggle with Driscoll. Green Bay at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 3 point home favorite. Pretty standard. 51.5 is your over line. Bogman, I've got Green Bay, and I'm going to go with the over. I think points will be scored here.
I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take Green Bay. New Orleans looks lost. And because Drew Brees has not looked good and we don't expect Michael Thomas to play yet again in this game, I'm going to go with Green Bay and I'm going to take the under because New Orleans offense has not put it together. You can't just have two guys It can't be Kamara and Smith, and that's it. And really, it's mainly Kamara. So you can't run the whole offense through one guy and expect this to beat a team like Green Bay. You can do that against some teams, but you can't do it against Green Bay. So give me Green Bay and the under in that one.
Finally, we got Kansas City at Baltimore. Baltimore is the standard 3-point home favorite. 53.5 is your line, Boggs. We got about 30 seconds. I'm Kansas City, and I'm going to go with the under. Both of these teams trying to pound it out, and I think there will be some running that's going to be going on, keeping out of the air when possible, but I love Kansas City.
Yeah, KC in the under, it's just too high. That line is too high for me. Give me the champs.
There you go. Got to go to break. When we come back, we will finish out hour two, introducing KC Bubba back in, so don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
Final segment of hour two. And why is that important? Well, it's because I'm going to head out on the old dusty trail. Welsh is going to leave the stable and going to tag in our boy KC Bubba. That wasn't a butt slap. That was just like a tag in there.
Oh, okay.
You can see me and you saw what I did. And I wasn't like, hey, good job there, Bubba. That even sounds creepier with his name. What's in store for you and Bubba?
We're going to talk about the Thursday night football game because we're going to record immediately after that with his Dolphins. So that should be fun to get his reaction.
Imagine being a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, I try not to. So I try my best not to.
I always forget. Like my old roommate for many years was a diehard Dolphins fan. I always forget about that. And it's just amazing. It's amazing because I'm like, wow, I knew Dolphins fans. It's crazy.
People live in Florida. When did that happen? I don't remember that at all. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to go over his bets, and he's doing better than both of us. So he and his parlay hit this week. So he's been
his
doing
parlay great. Hit. Ooh, his,
yeah. Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
All
yeah,
right.
So I don't even remember what it was, but he texted me to brag about it on Sunday. It's like all three of my parlay hit. And I was like, yeah, well, congratulations.
KC and the parlay band. That'll be that'll be who he is. All right. I dig that. What as far as football go? Anything else on the front besides the gambling?
No, probably just doing the picks, talking about what's going on that Thursday game. You know, it's only an hour. You know how much faster it flies with the new schedule for us. So that's usually what we hammer. We do Thursday night football, and then maybe I'll ask him a couple of his starts and sits for this week as well.
That's right. Well, all it's going to take for me to maybe I'll just start sitting out hour one and two if the 49ers lose to the Giants this next week. I'll just, you know what? It'll be a full focus on the MLB playoffs. That's what it'll be if the 49ers lose. It's going to be
2 hours of the MLB playoffs and NBA playoffs. Is that what hour one and two will be?
I mean, we could just keep the mic on and I can just be like, I'll just do that for 2 hours if they lose. So that's how it goes. All right.
You're like watching a game with you.
That's 100% right. So don't go anywhere. KC Bubba coming up. Of course, if you missed any of the show today, you can go catch the podcast on demand anytime over on Sports Grid. Just wherever you listen to podcasts, just type in this league. You'll find all of our other great shows. And if you guys want, come have some fun with us over at InThisLeague.com. I'm out. KC Bubba in hour three, right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.